That's what discernment is. Discernment is the ability to be able to look at a situation and assess, you know, what is behind it, if it's good or if it's bad. You know, and as I think about this and I think about discernment, you know, that there are actually two things that we can discern to tell what's going on. We can discern the outward signs of a situation.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of the Discerning of Spirits. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10 as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Discerning of Spirits.
In your bulletin this morning, there is a copy of the outline of the message today. And today we're talking about discernment and how to have discernment. If you look on the back of that sheet, you will see that there is an overview of the spiritual gifts. It's a sheet that I passed out before. So you already have this at some point in time. You'll notice that the first section or the top section deals with the performing gifts. Now, we spent about 10 weeks just talking about those. So you can go back and get the CDs if you want more information about any one of those particular topics or gifts. But I'm going to start a little mini series here, and we're going to focus on the middle part of that sheet right there, the perceiving gifts. And these are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we see that there are four of them. There's the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, and the gift of discernment. So over the next couple of weeks, we will be looking at these topics. So today we're going to look at the gift of discernment. If you would open in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we see in verse 10, it says, speaking of spiritual gifts, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. And like I said, the topic that we are dealing with today is discernment, but there's a subtitle or subtopic that I've added to this, and that is, I smell a rat. I smell a rat. Now, there's a phrase that's used, and that is the phrase that's used, I smell a rat. Now, this phrase actually originated when people who had large mansions, they would put their dogs in these mansions because sometimes there would be rats back hiding away in certain crevices and cracks of the mansion. And it said that if there was a rat in the mansion, that the dog would begin to lie on the carpet and roll over and spin around. And so that meant that if the dog started doing that, that meant that the dog smelled a rat. Now, that phrase actually was translated, and today it means that there's something to be suspicious of. There's a reason to be suspicious. And so when we talk about I smell a rat, you know, we're talking about having discernment and being suspicious, that there are certain things that we should be suspicious of. There are certain things that when we exercise discernment that should cause us to raise an eyebrow. There are some things that when we begin to use this gift, and once again, I will say this, that some people are very strong in the gift of discernment. Some people, this is almost like a sixth sense to them. And then all of us, to some degree, should have discernment. And all of us should be discerning individuals. So as we come today, the topic is discernment the subtitle. Somebody say, well, why you always put titles? I'm going to tell you why I put titles. Because, see, sometimes people might forget the scripture. They might forget what the message was about. But they always remember the title. People call in from the radio ministry, and they say, hey, can I have that message titled? So, you know, they remember the title. So if you don't remember anything else, you will remember the title this morning, I Smell a Rat. There's another slide up there for people with that next slide up. Joseph Stoll, who used to be the president of Moody Bible Institute, says this, discernment in scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate. It is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatic. So I think this quote captures the essence of what discernment is all about and what God's people should be about. In your notes this morning, at the very top, we break down what it means when it says discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. The word discerning comes from the Greek word diakrisis, and this means to separate, to distinguish, or to differentiate. The word spirits. Now, oftentimes we think of spirits, we think of angels, or we think of good spirits and evil spirits. But if you do a study of spirits in the scripture, especially in reference to the message this morning, you can see that it means one of three things. In Acts 16, it means evil spirit. In 1 John 4, it meant a doctrine or teaching. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it means an underlying motive. And so what is the scripture telling us? Discerning of spirits means that we can discern what's behind a particular occurrence. That if we see something that happens, I was going to do this morning. I was going to get my granddaughter to come up here and take that tray right there. Now, on that tray, there's water. There's a whole picture of water on that tray. For my throat, there's tea on that tray. And there's two glasses on that tray that if they slip off there, it'll probably break. Now, my granddaughter's 7. How many people think my granddaughter could lift that tray up and walk around and pour and give everybody something to drink in this congregation? That's not a good idea, is it? That's really not a good idea, right? You know what that means? You guys are discerning. That's discerning. If I told my granddaughter to pick up that tray, first of all, the tray is heavy with the water on it, and you pick it up, and the water is on one side, the tray is probably going to slide to one side, and then what's going to happen? It's going to flip over, the water's going to be on the floor, the glasses and everything else is going to be on the floor. So if I told my granddaughter to come up here and do that, what's the first thing that would come to many of your minds? That's not a good idea. You know, that's really not a good idea. Well, what does that mean? That means that you're discerning. That's what discernment is. Discernment is the ability to be able to look at a situation and assess, you know, what is behind it. If it's good or if it's bad, you know. And as I think about this and I think about discernment, you know, that there are actually two things that we can discern to tell what's going on. We can discern the outward signs of a situation. You know, there may be outward signs, things that we can look at, and then sometimes we have to go beyond the outward signs, and we have to do what? We have to look at the heart. We have to look at the motives. Now, the outward signs are easy sometimes to discern. Yeah, I think of, you know, there was a very discerning brother, and the Temptations sang about this individual. He was very discerning. He said this. He said, woman, your touch is gone cold. If someone else controls your very soul. I've fooled myself as long as I can. I can feel the presence of another man. It's just not the same when you speak my name. I'm losing you. Now, listen to this. Listen how discerning this brother was. It's in the air. It's there everywhere. Baby, baby, baby. I'm losing you. When I look into your eyes, a reflection of a face I see. I'm hurt, downhearted, and worried, girl, because that face doesn't belong to me. It's all over your face. Someone's taking my place. I know I'm losing you. You try hard to hide the emptiness you feel inside. But, oh, baby, I'm losing you. Did that brother have discernment or not? Did he have discernment? He could read that situation, right? You'd have to hit him over the head with a ton of bricks, right? He was able to discern that situation. And so sometimes, you know, we can look at a situation, we can size it up, and we can discern it. And then there's other times that we don't have any outward signs. There are times that we have to move beyond the outward signs, and we have to look to the heart of the matter. We have to look to try to discern the spirit that's behind what's happening. Now, if you'll look at your notes once again, we see that we have 4 points that we want to bring out this morning. The insight of discernment, the importance of discernment, the interpretation of discernment, and the increase of discernment. First of all, the insight. Now, I'll say this, because when we look at this, there's actually 2 views as to what discernment means. And I've just put these labels on them for clarity's sake. One is the conservative view, and the other one is the charismatic view. So when conservative people look at discernment of spirits, they have one definition, and the more charismatic people will put another spin on it. Well, what is the conservative view? The conservative view says that discernment is a divine enlightenment by the Holy Spirit to recognize whether a spirit or teaching is from God or Satan, is good or evil, is genuine or a lie. So that would be the conservative interpretation of it.
We're going to take a break at this time from the message. Do you know anyone that's dealing with addictions? Have you been a part of a broken relationship, or do you know of relationships that are broken? Do you know someone who is giving care to another person, or maybe you yourself are a caregiver? Have you ever wanted to know how to minister to someone dealing with homosexuality? And as we look at our world today, there's crisis situations happening all the time. Do you know how to intervene in a crisis? Well, I just want to let you know, if you fall into any of those situations, your cry has been heard. We are having a biblical counseling conference here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 11th from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. We will be using the Bible to address these issues and help you to understand how you can integrate the scriptures as you minister to people dealing with addiction, broken relationships, people who are caregivers, people who are trying to understand homosexuality, and people who are dealing with a crisis. That we're going to show you how to use the Bible as a layperson to be able to minister to the glory of God. So why don't you come and join us for this biblical counseling conference on April 11th from 8:30 to 4. For more information, you can call 412-246-4463. We look forward to being with you on April 11th. God bless you as you listen to the rest of the broadcast.
That when you look at a thing, that you should be able to tell whether it's from God or from Satan, whether it's genuine or whether it's false, whether it's true or whether it's a lie. Well, the more charismatic interpretation of discernment would say that this is the Holy Spirit directed sensitivity to tell when evil spirits are influencing a situation. So some people have the ability to be able to sense when an evil spirit is present and influencing a situation. I remember on one occasion, I got a call to go visit a person. It was a lady, and because, you know, I wouldn't go by myself, I took some other people with me. One of the persons that went with me was Bill Moore. And as we went to this place, we went to this home, the first thing that happened when we walked in the door, there was a picture of Jesus on a table. And the wind blew in, blew the curtain, and knocked the picture of Jesus on the floor. Now, I'm not saying, oh. Now, once again, you can ask Bill Moore. He was there. He was there with me. The next thing I know, all of a sudden, this eeriness came on me, and I just got sick, and I had to excuse myself, and I had to go back into the ladies' bathroom, and I was back there for about a half hour, and I just, you know, there was something about that situation. Now, you know, once again, maybe coincidence, maybe, but I mean, there was all kind of omens and things around in this place, and then when the picture blew off, and then all of a sudden I got sick, and I'm like, man, you know, this, I sense that there's some forces at work here. I've never had anything like that happen to me before. I'm not a person that will go look for demons. I don't want to confront any demons. You know, I'm not looking. You know, if you need an exorcism, don't call Pastor Glaze. Don't call Pastor Glaze. I'll pray for you over the phone, and I'll send you some CDs and DVDs and all that stuff, but don't call me. That's some stuff right there. Now, if I have to, I would deal with it. I'm just saying that. You know, that wasn't anything I was looking for. But once I got into that situation, you know, there was a certain eeriness about it. There was a certain spirit that was present in the room that day. And so a person with discernment can be able to look at a situation and see when evil influences are working in a situation. Well, what is the importance of discernment? The importance of discernment. Discernment is very important for believers today. And the reason that it's important is because there are many voices in the world that are speaking to us. And we should know which voices to listen to and obey. And exercising discernment will enable the Christian to follow the voice of truth. Now, I began to think about this and ask the question, how many voices are there? And I just started writing down. Let me tell you what I wrote down. There's the voice of God. There's the voice of Satan. There's the voice of the world. There's the voice of your family. There's the voice of your friends. There's the voice of Hollywood. There's the voice of Wall Street, and there's the voice of politics. And those are just a few that I, and so you got all these voices coming at you every day. You turn on your TV, there's voices coming at you. You go out into, you're on your job, and there's voices coming at you. You even sit at home with your family, there's voices coming at you. Yeah, I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, they talked about these 17 girls up in this school in New England that they said made a pact that they would all get pregnant. Now, where did that come? There was some voice that came and spoke that to them, even to the point, which is unbelievable, that one of the girls went out and had sex with a homeless man. So, you know, it's this thing, you know, these voices that we hear. Now, once again, I'm not, you know, maybe there's some people that hear little voices speaking in the room and stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the voices of influence, the voices that try to speak to us today. You know, we all have watched this week over and over again the comment that Jesse Jackson made about Barack. All of us know what he said. But you know, I came, and once again, this is my opinion. I'm putting aside the word. I'm just giving you my opinion. You know what I think it boils down to? It boils down to a difference of philosophy. That Jesse Jackson has preached and lived a philosophy all of his life, and then Barack Obama comes and he has a different philosophy. And I think there might have been a little tension, what I was sensing, a little tension between the philosophies, and that's why Jesse Jackson made the comment that he made, is because Obama's philosophy is a little different, as Barack says, it's a new, we're all about change, this is something new. And Jesse has been preaching stuff for years. And so he gets there, he makes this comment, and didn't realize that the mic was on. So, you know, what do we have? You know, we have a conflict of voices. You know, people for years have been listening to the voice of Jesse. And now Obama comes on, and he has a new voice. He has something else that he's saying. And so we look at it, And we need, in the midst of our society that we live in today, we need more than any other time, we need discernment. We need to be able to sit down and assess a situation and be able to tell what's true and what's false. You know, if you look at it today, look at the church and the world. The church and the world are so meshed together today. They are so ingrained together that sometimes it's hard to tell where the church ends and where the world begins. They're all jumbled and mumbled and tumbled up in there together. And unless we as Christians have discernment, sometimes we'll think that we're doing stuff that the church is supposed to be doing, that's representing Christ, and we're actually involved in things that are of the world. And so we have to have discernment. And another thing about this discernment. If you ever watch, you know, I would hate that. Once again, I know that the police have gotten a bad rap, and in some situations, probably rightfully so. But you know what? I would hate to be a policeman. I would hate to be a policeman and be confronted with someone that's standing a certain amount of feet away from me, and I've got to make a split moment decision whether this guy is a threat to me or not. And in a split moment, I gotta come to that real, does this guy have a gun? Does he have a real gun or a toy gun? Is the gun loaded or is it not loaded? Does he have something or does he not have something? And in a split moment, I've got to, you know, be ready. And either way, there's a good chance that I can do something and I'll make a mistake. What does the policeman need in that time? And so these guys go through training after training after training, where they are put in situation after situation after situation, where they have to make a split-second decision as to what to do. And so hopefully they've been doing it long enough and they've had enough practice at it. When it comes down to the real deal, they can make the right decision. Well, you know what, my brothers and sisters? That's the way discernment is. That sometimes Satan will come up on you so fast, and he'll have his back to you, and you got to figure out whether he got a gun or not. And then if you see something shiny, you got to figure out whether it's a real gun or not. And then you got to figure out if he's a threat to you or not. And in that instance, in a split second, you got to be able to think through it and make a decision that may cause your testimony, that may cause your reputation, that may even cost you your life that quick. But yet and still, people are putting themselves in positions where they haven't nurtured their discernment. They haven't sharpened their discernment. So when they get in situations where they got to make a split-second decision, oftentimes they make the wrong decision because they haven't nurtured their discernment. And I would pray today that God would help us to be discerning individuals. And when we come to that place, and especially the youth today, young people are under a lot of pressure, and they got to make split seconds decisions. Am I going to take a puff off of that joint or not? Am I going to tilt my arm and drink that liquor or not? Am I going to be involved in a sexual relationship or not? And sometimes it's a split second that they have to make that decision. And they, you know what? And I find that unless you have equipped yourself and prepared yourself, that the chances are, if you're not focused on God, that when you make that decision, you might end up making the wrong decision. And so I pray today, and as we go through the lesson, continue to go through the lesson, you know, if maybe you don't need this today, all right? But you can share this with somebody else, because this is one of the problems that we have with Christians today. We are not exercising discernment. Paul said that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And so God wants you to be informed individuals. He wants you to have your discerner already tuned up and ready to go. You know, I remember years ago, saint here has gone home to be with the Lord. A lady gave my wife a book, and I forget the name of the book now. But this lady was all excited about this book. She said, "Oh, Sister Glaze, you got to read this book. This book has just helped me so much," and went on and on. And so my wife got the book, and the book was completely New Age. And my wife read the book, and, you know, just the spirit of discernment.
she was able to look at all these things that wasn't lining up with what the Word said.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the discerning of spirits. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Discerning of Spirits, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Discerning of Spirits or program number 080713. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Discerning of Spirits or program number 080713. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.